the following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Okay. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Yeah. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Oh, once she grabs, she won't let go. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole.
None of that soft stuff.
Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole.
None of that heavy metal stuff.
Rock, rock. Rockin' Nicole.
Just a little bit of jazz.
Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole.
What do you think?
Just I like love
that.
It.
All right. All right. It's a Tuesday, everybody. Tuesday. And it's that, like, every other Tuesday. So, gotta laugh is here. So, that's a good thing. I gotta tell you, I was almost late because... Because Laffy and I were talking off air, and I look up and I see it's 4:59. I'm like, oh my God, I forgot to hit the pre-show music, which gives me like a 2-minute warning and get everything going. But I think we're all here. I hope so. Yes. Oh, and Sandy's in the chat room. I think it's her birthday. So yeah, there's a lot to talk about, a lot to do today. I was going to start off by reading Elizabeth Warren's op-ed from the New York Times from yesterday. But I'm going to save it. I'm going to tell you, you should read it. I will say, I'm not going to be here tomorrow. I've decided I'm taking tomorrow off because so much for my, you know, vacation week, right? But I am taking tomorrow off. Allison, my kids got the day off. We're going to go to the beach or something. And I feel guilty saying that because I know there's snow on the ground in, I mean, somebody sent me a picture of, it's just the ground's covered with snow, and there's another big storm this weekend. It's April 19th. Come on, man. I won't read you the Elizabeth Warren thing because I have something else that I want to play for you that's timely today. So I'll save the Elizabeth Warren thing maybe for Thursday, but tell you, you should listen to it because it is Senator Warren saying we need to do something. And if we don't do something, I'm paraphrasing here, we're in deep shit. And I think even if we do something, we're in deep shit. So anyway, let's not wait any longer. She's only here every other week. Let's bring the laughster in. Gotta laugh. She's here. She's here somewhere.
If the news gives you the blues, here's the perfect place to go. It's Tuesdays with Gotta Laugh on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Ah, she is. Hello, Laffy.
Hi there. We almost made you late.
We did. I was like, oh shit, I gotta go.
I know. I looked at the clock when you said that and I was like, whoa.
Yeah, because I'm usually
that,
like,
that happened.
Ready. Yeah, that did happen. And but we made it, and look, without skipping a beat, as they say.
That's right. So it was like seamless. You panicked, and then you said, "No,
because
I can do this."
I had everything set up and ready. Now that doesn't necessarily mean anything, because there are often times that I have everything set up and ready, and it just doesn't work. But this time it did. So knocking on wood laminate, because it doesn't happen all the time. So how you doing, Laffy?
Oh, I'm fine. Everything's just great. Everything in the world is copacetic.
Right.
There's no war. There's no fascism. In my world, it's just me, Pinot Noir, and a big bat.
Facts no longer matter. Reality is now fiction. There's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, opposite world.
Sorry. When you said everything's fine, you know what? Everything is fucking falling apart. I got to tell you, let me tell you something.
Badly.
I probably shouldn't, but I got through, my schedule got thrown off a little bit today because I had about an hour long conversation with Congressman Mark Pocan.
Oh, that's right. You did.
Yes. And see, he was listening on Thursday when Howie was here. And we were talking about the problems with the Progressive Caucus, and there are many. And, you know, I'm not going to be able to settle it. What I've been concerned about lately is that there seems to be a concerted effort to turn Pramila Jayapal into the scapegoat. And I think that's really dangerous because she's honestly one of the best we have in Congress. And if we do the typical Democratic Party shit and scapegoat her. We're going to lose out on one of the best organizers, one of the best policy people, one of the, frankly, and I've never met her, I don't know her, but from what I've heard, one of the best, genuinely good people we have. Don't do that. We did it with Al Franken. Stop it.
Right?
Let's not shoot our own. There are problems in the Progressive Caucus, and the biggest problem, what I spoke to Mark Pocan about, was what appears to me to be an inordinate number of new Dems infiltrating the Progressive Caucus. And we talked about the Chantel Brown thing, that the caucus endorsed her over Nina Turner. Well, apparently, see, it's not quite that easy, because Chantel Brown is the incumbent and she's a member of the caucus. She's also a member of the New Dems, by the way. But because she's a member of the caucus, she automatically gets the caucus endorsement. They didn't personally endorse her, and I don't think any of them are going to. There are some, you know, she takes money from sources she shouldn't. She, again, plays both sides of the fence. She is part of the New Dems. And she's by no means a progressive champion like Nina Turner is, but they're in this bind. And the thing is, there's not much criteria for being in the Progressive Caucus. There wasn't, Mark Pocan told me, before he got there, before he was chair, and he's not chair anymore, Pramila is, but that's of the caucus. Then there's the PAC, which is something separate. But since when he was there, they put new, I guess, safeguards in place so that you have to vote with the caucus 75% of the time. And apparently, since they put those new rules in place, they only lost one member. So, you know, I don't know. I haven't
got. Who did they lose?
I don't even remember the name. It was a name I wasn't familiar with. But, you know, it's there are a few. I went through the membership roles with him. I mean, I was going down the list. And there are some who just really seem like they don't belong there. But if they're hitting the 75% mark, they can't just kick them out. But again, I think their priorities are messed up, because Chantel Brown is taking money from sources that I don't think she should. They have one of their criteria is that you don't take money from, you know, big corporate interests. But there are special interests that are not necessarily aligned with our progressive values. So there's that. But anyway, we had a good conversation. We didn't agree on everything, but, you know, there's two sides to every story. And so he'll probably come in and come on the show one of these days. Again, I've got a few bones to pick, but we agreed more than we disagreed. And we had a good conversation, but anyway, it threw off my day. So I'm all discombobulated here. But we're here. It's, you know, 7 minutes after 5 o'clock here on the East Coast, 7 after 2 there in California. How's the weather out there?
Oh, it's beautiful. It's just gorgeous. It's about 72, clear skies, nice. A breeze. It's just perfect. Walking panty weather.
Oh, yeah. See, it's already getting a little too hot here. And I've got the door open. I've got the fan on, the AC on. But it gets horribly hot here. The thermometer says it's 84 outside, but they have people in the Northeast have snow.
I know.
Snow.
What?
I know. Right. That's just wrong. It shouldn't be this time of year. But you know, that's the new normal, isn't it?
It's climate change. It's the climate crisis. It's, you know, par for the course. And I mean, like here, it was raining and in the 50s, I think it was. And then like 2 days later, it was 94. And then it dropped down to the 60s, like the next day. It's just, there's no normal with the weather anymore. There's a trend that is kind of normal. You know, like it tends to be warmer now in the spring, you know, as it should be. And we never get rain. So that's the same.
Yep.
California's in real big trouble with this drought stuff, though. I mean, they say that we're going to be hit harder than any state in the country as time goes on. And so I'm glad we're getting out when we can eventually.
Well, you are. And I don't know what we're going to do. I'll tell you, Florida gets stranger and more
volatile?
Wingnut by the day.
Just
a moment ago, the new editorial from the South Florida Sun Sentinel hit my inbox. The headline reads, Vengeful DeSantis, Compliant Lawmakers Abuse Power to Attack Disney.
Well, that's coming up with my tweets. We'll have to talk about that.
Yes, so I've got this here so I can share it. I mean, I obviously haven't read it because I just brought it up. But the editorial, I guess this will be in tomorrow's paper in the South Florida Sun Sentinel, goes after DeSantis. And I'll tell you something. Both the local papers, the Miami Herald and the Sun Sentinel, have been really tough on him, as they should be, but he's still...
Well, read Will Bunch's new column.
Oh, I will.
Will Bunch.
Yes.
And I tweeted my usual thread. I always like to thread for him, and he always sends me his stuff in a DM so that I'll do that. And it's about DeSantis. It's about a lot.
You know,
people should read it.
This man is nuts. Because before, you know, even more than the Disney thing, the new thing is this book...
Math books. That's what Bill's column is about.
Yeah. Well, listen to this.
This weekend, we learned that Florida rejected 41% of new math textbooks. At least they think it's 41%. For some reason, they suck at math. So why the war against arithmetic? Well, the Florida Education Department explained that reasons for rejecting textbooks included references to critical race theory, which the Florida legislature says includes theories that distort historical events. What explains the updated unit on division? A house divided against itself. Hey, that's two houses. Nice. Florida officials did not name the rejected textbooks, nor provide samples of passages that failed to meet the criteria, but describe the review process as transparent. Well, I guess they also banned dictionaries, because that's not what transparent means. And while the banned books...
That deserves applause. Yeah, sure.
Doesn't make any sense, does it, John? Some things are based on their sense. While the banned books remain a mystery, here at The Late Show, we have received a copy of a newly approved Florida math problem. Congressman Matt Gaetz and two friends have 10 ounces of cocaine. There are 12 people at the party. Three of them are girls under 18. What should he call it on the Venmo transaction?
Stephen Colbert. He's
school
on it.
School supplies.
Yeah.
The correct answer is school supplies.
School supplies. Yeah, that sounds about right. But, you know, the thing is, I've watched I've read articles on these books. It's like 53 math textbooks that they banned. So there's like one approved math textbook, and the teachers are freaking out. But he won't give any specific information. And when they kept being pressed on it, I've got a tweet for you from Florida State Representative Carlos G. Smith. And he wrote, mm-hmm. DeSantis had 3 days to provide basic info on the 54th math books he banned from schools for allegedly, quote, indoctrinating kids with CRT. The best his propaganda machine could do was deflect to a Missouri district that apologized for a homework assignment they didn't approve. And this is what they're holding up in Florida as the example. So here's one. Y equals X plus 2, 3X plus 6Y equals 12. Angelou was sexually abused by her mother's blank at age 8, which shaped her career choices and motivation for writing. And the choices are A, boyfriend, B, brother, C, father. And then here's another one. Trying to support her son as a single mother, she worked as a pimp, prostitute, and blank. And the choices are A, bookie, B, drug dealer, C, nightclub dancer. The fact that they would show those things is sickening, because those weren't from a textbook anywhere, certainly not in Florida, but not even in Missouri.
Okay, here's what Will Bunch, I have my thread.
Okay.
He said his original tweet was, this was the week America's actually immoral moral panic, in quotes, of 2022 spun out of control, banning math books over race, in quotes, canceling quote, rant, obviously that's in quotes, waging jihad on libraries. The right wing knows critical thinking by youth will kill the movement. And then my quotes, DeSantis and his education goon squad are now brandishing, these are all his quotes
right.
from his article,
okay.
are now brandishing their manufactured list of, quote, woke elementary school math textbooks, allegedly primed to teach little kids that, quote, 2 + 2, unquote, of U.S. white supremacy no longer adds up. Florida Department of Education under DeSantis rejected math textbooks for grade school kids. It said 21% were rejected because they allegedly taught, quote, critical race theory or, quote, incorporated prohibited topics of unsolicited theories, a chilling phrase that would likely leave Orwell spinning in his grave.
Oh, shit.
Team DeSantis offered no examples, like you said, of what it claims is, quote, indoctrination. Not surprising, since critical race theory is a sophisticated theory about the nature of systemic racial discrimination that is largely taught at the level where it's relevant. Law school! But let's get real. Ron DeSantis and his classroom bullies are surely exaggerating, if not flat out lying, about the role of race in grade school textbooks, all to score some cheap points and motivate right-wing parents in an election year. It would be so laughable if it wasn't the tip of an iceberg, a rapidly accelerating national hysteria over books and school and kids and their teachers that will eventually get some folks killed. But the great moral panic of 2022 isn't just confined to Florida or to Republican red states. In fact, the literary group Pen America finds Pennsylvania, which went narrowly for Biden, as number two state for recent events to ban books touching on race, gender, or sexuality. In a violent nation with more guns than people, the increasingly heated verbiage about anyone who opposes them as, quote, groomers or attacks young transgender athletes will surely get someone hurt. But why this moral panic and why now? The seeds seem to have been planted in spring and summer of 2020 when the size, power, and perhaps most important, youth of the George Floyd protest movement calling out not just police violence, but broader systemic racism shocked middle America. The majority of Americans do not support what's happening in this country right now.
Right.
We have between now and November for this majority to speak up, to call this allegedly moral panic out for what it really is, an immoral panic mm-hmm. meant to lock in discrimination. Let's win by doing the math.
Well said. Yeah, Will Bunch always is. You can find him at the Philadelphia Inquirer. But, you know, this is just insane. And this is spreading around the country, as Will said. These antediluvian attitudes, they want to bring us back to before Jim Crow. They want to bring us back to the days of slavery, it sounds like. They just want to bring us back to the days where everybody knew their place and the white man ruled the roost.
Did you happen to see, I know you don't like to watch Rachel, but her opening segment yesterday about this, I have it somewhere, but it's about how Russia used pedophilia against their enemies, uh-huh. right? How they use that as an excuse to kill people because everybody hates a pedophile and they are virtually, you know, a non-existent person if they're that bad. So killing them is no big deal. It's fine. And then she used that history and she went through the history of it really well, of course, because that's what she's good at.
Right.
And then led right up to what they're doing now. And it all boils down to power.
Yep.
It all boils down to getting rid of everybody, like you said, that they don't like or agree with or threatens them because they want to be in power. And how to get rid of those people by making them so othered and so reviled that getting rid of them and killing them or otherwise imprisoning them or whatever you want to, you know, whatever other, I can't think of the word. It just went out of my head. But anyway, you get it.
I do get
that's
it.
That's what they're up to.
You know what? Yeah. Now I have to play this video. Okay. So this is why I wanted to fit this in today. And this is the reason why I'm not reading you the Elizabeth Warren op-ed, because that's there. It'll be there on Thursday. This is exactly mm-hmm. what we're talking about. There's a woman. She is a state senator in the mm-hmm. state of Michigan. And she felt compelled to get up and deliver this speech that I'm about to play for you. It's a little over 4 minutes.
Oh, and just FYI for everybody, she's going to be on Lawrence O'Donnell's show tonight.
Tonight, okay.
On MSNBC.
Her name is Mallory McMorrow. She's state senator from Michigan. And you know what? It doesn't even need a setup. You just need to hear what she said. So let's listen to her. Here we go.
Thank you, Mr. President. I didn't expect to wake up yesterday to the news that the senator from the 22nd district had overnight accused me by name of grooming and sexualizing children in an email fundraising for herself. So I sat on it for a while wondering why me. And then I realized, because I am the biggest threat to your hollow, hateful scheme. Because you can't claim that you are targeting marginalized kids in the name of, quote, parental rights if another parent is standing up to say no. So then what? Then you dehumanize and marginalize me. You say that I'm one of them. You say she's a groomer. She supports pedophilia. She wants children to believe that they were responsible for slavery and to feel bad about themselves because they're white. Well, here's a little bit of background about who I really am. Growing up, my family was very active in our church. I sang in the choir. My mom taught CCD. One day, our priest called a meeting with my mom and told her that she was not living up to the church's expectations and that she was disappointing. My mom asked why. Among other reasons, she was told it was because she was divorced and because the priest didn't see her at Mass every Sunday.
Oh, God.
So where was my mom on Sundays? She was at the soup kitchen with me. My mom taught me at a very young age that Christianity and faith was about being part of a community, about recognizing our privilege and blessings and doing what we can to be of service to others, especially people who are marginalized, targeted, and who had less. Often unfairly. I learned that service was far more important than performative nonsense like being seen in the same pew every Sunday or writing Christian in your Twitter bio and using that as a shield to target and marginalize already marginalized people. I also stand on the shoulders of people like Father Ted Hesburgh, the longtime president of the University of Notre Dame, who was active in the civil rights movement, who recognized his power and privilege as a white man, a faith leader, and the head of an influential and well-respected institution, and who saw black people in this country being targeted and discriminated against and beaten, and reached out to lock arms with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. when he was alive, when it was unpopular and risky, and marching alongside them to say, "We've got you," to offer protection and service and allyship to try to right the wrongs and fix injustice in the world. So who am I? I am a straight, white, Christian, married, suburban mom who knows that the very notion that learning about slavery or redlining or systemic racism somehow means that children are being taught to feel bad or hate themselves because they are white is absolute nonsense. No child alive today is responsible for slavery. No one in this room is responsible for slavery. But each and every single one of us bears responsibility for writing the next chapter of history. Each and every single one of us decides what happens next and how we respond to history and the world around us. We are not responsible for the past. We also cannot change the past. We can't pretend that it didn't happen or deny people their very right to exist. I am a straight, white, Christian, married, suburban mom. I want my daughter to know that she is loved, supported, and seen for whoever she becomes. I want her to be curious, empathetic, and kind. People who are different are not the reason that our roads are in bad shape after decades of disinvestment, or that healthcare costs are too high, or that teachers are leaving the profession. I want every child in this state to feel seen, heard, and supported, not marginalized and targeted because they are not straight, white, and Christian.
Good for her.
We cannot let hateful people tell you otherwise to scapegoat and deflect from the fact that they are not doing anything to fix the real issues that impact people's lives. And I know that hate will only win if people like me stand by and let it happen. So I want to be very clear right now. Call me whatever you want. I hope you brought in a few dollars. I hope it made you sleep good last night. I know who I am. I know what faith and service means and what it calls for in this moment. We will not let hate win.
Wow. 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 Her name is Mallory McMorrow. And holy shit. What? How perfectly said was that?
Mm-hmm. It was so well. I mean, I was sitting there listening, and I know she was reading it.
Yeah.
I couldn't read that well.
No.
I mean, she sounded it like it was off
first
the
of all, she's got the pipes. She's got a great voice. One of the slams on women is sometimes they're too high pitched and screechy. She's got a great voice, great delivery. She's a natural. And what she had to say was every bit as good as how she said it. I mean, it's so important for.
But the thing is, they don't hear it.
No, they don't.
They don't hear it at all. All they hear is bad guy yelling at me, opposition. We're going to have to get her out of office and we're going to have to flip some elections. I mean, they don't hear anything.
Yeah.
They don't care.
They don't want to. And that's the problem. There's this wall up. And that's another thing that I spoke to Mark Pocan about. The fact that the right, as heinous as they are, they have that giant megaphone. They have this propaganda media machine because they support it. The left doesn't. We have a lot of people who do what I do. Some better than I do, some not as good. But the fact is, we're the ones carrying the water, and the party and the players got nothing for us. They do not support the people that back them up every day. And that needs to change. And I don't know. I don't think it will.
I don't know how. Yeah. I don't know how it does.
Yeah, I know. It's a shame.
I mean, speaking of that, Pramila Jayapal put a tweet out today saying, we have to expand the court. Here's why, you know, and she did a tweet about that. And I said, you're absolutely right. I agree 100%. How?
Yeah.
How we do that? We don't have the votes. We can say every day, all day, we got to do this. We should do this. We have to do that. This needs to change. That needs to change. Of course it does.
Yep.
Of course we do. Of course it should. Of course we have to. But...
I know.
How?
I know. All right. We already read some tweets, but we didn't make it official yet. So let's make it official. That Mallory, she's something. So you said she's going to be on Lawrence O'Donnell's show tonight.
Yeah, she's going to be on Lawrence O'Donnell tonight. I saw a tweet go by from The Last Word.
Okay, good. Good.
Yeah. I'm sure those clips that he gets out of it will be played tomorrow. So that's another good bump for her. But I would like to see her go far.
Yeah. Yeah.
She looks like she could.
She does. And I don't know what her story. This is the first time I've ever heard of her. Though Sandy in the chat room, who is Environmental Coffee House, she does a great show on YouTube dealing with climate change and the world that we are living in. And so you should definitely check her out. You know, Friday is Earth Day. Here's a funny story. Back in the early 90s, you know, when the world finally started catching up, or the United States, I should say, to Earth Day, it was like the early 90s that... finally, they made a big deal out of it in L.A. I was living in Los Angeles. And there was a band, there still is a band, called Dramarama. It's a great L.A. rock band. And they've been around forever, but the guys do other things too. But they put out a song back this whatever year that felt like the first year that we celebrated Earth Day, though it wasn't. And it's called What Are We Gonna Do? And it starts with... It goes, it's April 21st and everybody knows today is Earth Day. Merry Christmas. Happy birthday to who's ever being born. The problem was Earth Day's not April 21st. That was the day that the big event was happening. And so they had to go. It's April 22nd. So they had to go back in. That's how it is on the record. But now when they, or in subsequent years when they performed it, they'd say, it's April 21st, and everybody knows tomorrow's Earth Day. So that's just always
twins
stuck in my head.
I don't blame you. one of my twins went on an audition. I mean, went on a call. It was actually a filming that the kid from Sleepless in Seattle was in their class. And so he was doing a Disney special for Earth Day. So a lot, my, one of my kids went along with him to watch, and they ended up hiring my kid. He had to hug a tree, and they gave him some lines. And I mean, I remember he called me and said, they're going to be faxing you contracts. They want me to be on this show.
Oh,
it was
funny.
Some Disney or something. Yeah. Anyway. Well, so
anyway, what I started saying is, Sandy, that's okay, wrote in the chat room that Mallory did a spectacular speech on the shooting that killed 4 high school kids. I used the clip in the show I did. She's spectacular. So, well, at least she's been on some radars.
We've been looking for an up-and-comer. Mm-hmm. Because there haven't been that many, especially as young as she is. She looks pretty young.
She does. I don't know. But she's a young mom. I don't know anything about her. I guess we'll have to look.
We'll have to look her up. But she can deliver a speech. She's adorable looking.
Yep.
She is
really articulate, well spoken, and
yeah, has smart, clearly.
Yes. A great presence.
Yes. That's so important. But you remember her. I mean, like, she is memorable. That's so important.
Yep.
People get to know her quickly. It's like, you know, it's like when you watch the first episode of a Netflix series, and the first episode you're kind of slogging through it and going, well, I don't quite know who that person is, and what's that character about, and why are they connected?
Right.
She's one where you watch it, and the first episode you go, I know exactly where the show is going. I know who that is, and I love it, you know. So I would love to see if she could be somebody worth looking into.
I have to read up on her. This is this is the first time I ever heard of her, and I think we'll see a lot more of her. And good for her.
I hope so.
For doing that, right?
Yeah, major kudos. Yep. Anywho, speaking of DeSantis,
wait a second. The chat room is telling me our voices. We sound like we're underwater again. This happened yesterday. This happened yesterday.
It did?
Yeah, so I'm going to do the same fix. I don't know. Hold on. We're going to go silent for a moment. This sucks. I don't know why it's doing it, but at least I know how to fix it now. Wait. Here we go. Whoops. It didn't. All right. Go silent. Yes. All right. Are we back? We're back. All right.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Now we wait and see. They're saying it's good now, but it's better now. Okay. But I don't think they caught up to us yet. I think it cleared up on its own, and then I stopped it and started. We'll see. I don't know. All right. It's intermittent, they're telling me. Okay. It's intermittent. Now we're fine. All right.
Oh, good. Okay, good. Whew. Okay. another Tuesday. DeSantis.
Oh,
this is coming from CNN.
Yes.
And DeSantis moved against Disney with a push to eliminate the special status the theme park has in Florida.
Yeah. You know, that it's not only that. What DeSantis did, he didn't like the new maps, the new congressional district maps that the legislature drew, the Republican-led legislature. And he said he wouldn't sign them. And I think even the Republicans in the legislature got so fed up with him, they said, well, then you do it because we've done it already. So he said, okay. And he had one of his thugs draw new maps that eliminated, there were two districts that were predominantly Black. That, you know, everything's gerrymandered down here. And so this was two safe Black districts, and there's a safe district around Disney. Well, he did away with all of that in the interest of making everything fair. Well, it's not making it fair. It's making it lean totally right and you know, screwing over the Democrats again. And that's what this is about. And now he's pissed off that Disney is challenging him on the Don't Say Gay bill. So now he's going all guns out for Disney. That's probably the wrong analogy to use, but you get the idea. And
well,
so
not in his case anyway.
Right. No. And that leads us to today's, you know, op-ed in the Sun Sentinel. But you tell me what you got.
Well, I like the people who replied.
Okay.
My followers replying, Disney is the lifeline of Florida's economy, says Laura Marlin. I can't understand what he's doing here. And then Paisley says, he thinks he has absolute power. This one, I think, will go really poorly for him. Disney would be a formidable opponent. And then somebody else says, the worst authoritarian. And then somebody else said, DeSantis announced his move against Disney on Tuesday to a crowd of supporters in the Villages, a sprawling retirement metropolis built by Republican developers in Central Florida. Isn't it ironic, don't you think? And then, but the one I liked was an answer to one of the replies. And this is from Barney 1776. And he said, or she said, I think it's he, in my opinion, DeSantis has nothing to lose and everything to gain by attacking Disney. His political power is based wholly on fanatical rage and hatred. He'll gladly sacrifice Florida's economy and Floridians' very lives to position himself as the first post-Trump Fuhrer.
Entirely. Let me share with you some of this op-ed, because I did have a chance to skim it a little bit. And so this will be in tomorrow's paper. They just released this less than an hour ago. South Florida Sun Sentinel. It was inevitable that the biggest bully in Florida political history would pick a fight with the state's biggest brand and its most influential corporation. But few expected it to explode into full-blown public furor as quickly as it did on Tuesday. That's today. Governor Ron DeSantis ordered the legislature to dismantle, a year from now, Disney's elaborate system of self-government known as the Reedy Creek Improvement District, created by the legislature in 1967 to pave the way for Walt Disney World's opening in 1971. By Wednesday or Thursday, the deed could be done with no plan for dissolving the district, including the fate of its $169 million annual budget, its $1.1 billion debt, or its nearly 400 employees, including 231 firefighters. Let's be clear. We've long been uneasy about the power Disney wields and would welcome a thoughtful analysis of the government functions the company controls in the way it benefits from municipal bond deals and home rule powers. But Tuesday's action was anything but thoughtful. It was a harried and vindictive stampede led by lawmakers who admitted they didn't know what they were doing. This was an act of pure spite, and few bothered to pretend otherwise. Disney made the mistake of challenging Florida's governor by criticizing him, albeit belatedly, over a controversial bill that prevents discussion of sexual orientation and gender identity in grades kindergarten through three. Perhaps more infuriating, Disney indicated it was going to hold off on political contributions to Florida Republicans. As Representative Randy Fine, Republican of Palm Bay, who's sponsoring HB3C to dissolve the district, blandly intoned, quote, "When you kick the hornet's nest, sometimes issues arise." In true DeSantis fashion, legislation to break up Disney's operations in Orange and Osceola counties surfaced at the start of a four-day special session of the legislature with no opportunity for input from the company or average Floridians. Welcome to the Sunshine State. The bills, the Senate companion is SB 4C, blindsided Central Florida legislatures, forcing Republicans to take sides between their party's powerful leader and the region's dominant employer. The legislature also took action to repeal a special favor they'd carved out for Disney just last year, an exemption from the state's most likely unconstitutional law targeting social media companies that censor conservative speech. Those bills were also dropped on lawmakers on Tuesday. The speed with which the Disney dissolution bill reached lawmakers was itself outrageous and a reflection of DeSantis's willingness to use raw power with the fawning acquiescence of Senate President Wilton Simpson and House Speaker Chris Sprouls. We have to wonder how far DeSantis will force lawmakers to go the next time he decides to throw a temper tantrum. And we have to wonder how much longer Florida's traditionally and constitutionally independent legislature will kowtow to a man who exhibits little concern for the chaos he would wreak or the amount of lawmakers' own political capital he will force them to burn. It goes on, but that's the gist of it. That's pretty, you know, this guy is bad news. And the fact that he is not underwater when it comes to polling tells me that the propaganda machine is working overtime.
Yes, and he could be.
I know.
A presidential candidate.
Ah!
I know. Don't even start me. Okay, on to the next thing.
All
right. We're talking about the mask mandate being dropped.
Yeah.
All right. Ali Mistal said, the fact that so many people are saying, quote, you can still wear masks on a plane if you want to, as if it's an issue of personal risk tolerance, when the whole point of masks is to keep other people safe,
yep,
is a succinct case study in why we fail. In any event, I've tried to wear masks to keep other people safe from whatever germs I may be carrying. But given that so few people are willing to extend me the same courtesy and are proud of their selfishness, it is starting to make the whole conversation moot.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
That's not good.
No. No. There's very little that's good,
good
right now. That's what's freaking me out. There's very little that's good right now.
Oh, I know. Oh, my God. Yes. There's some days I don't want to get out of bed.
Right.
But moving along.
Wait, can I tell you something that's good? Let's share some good news. So last week, John Bonifaz was on the program. I think it was last Tuesday, actually. The day you weren't here. So it was a week ago today. And you know, he's a constitutional attorney. He's the co-founder of Free Speech for People. And they are working with these groups, citizens groups, in states, including Georgia, North Carolina, and Arizona. Do you know what those three states have in common? Whoops.
You tell me.
Well, what they have in common, sorry, my notes. Yeah. I meant to bring them up here, but they came up over your face. What they have in common are all have members of Congress who aided and abetted the insurrectionists on January 6th.
Yes, of course, yes.
And what happens is in the Constitution, the 14th Amendment, I've got it right here. Hold on. My pocket constitution here. Amendment 14, Section 3. Hold on, I'm on the wrong. Okay, 14. Amendment 14 is, hold on, that's 5, 6, 7. Okay, Amendment 14, Section 3. No person shall be a senator or representative in Congress or elector of president and vice president or hold any office, civil or military, under the United States, under any state, who, having previously taken an oath to serve in one of those positions, I'm shortening it a little bit, shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof.
So,
John Bonifaz and Free Speech for People are representing some of these citizen groups in challenging some of these sitting members of Congress's right to run again. So here's John on the show last Tuesday explaining exactly what this is about.
What we're engaged in here, and we are partnering with Our Revolution at the national level in this campaign all across the country to ensure that election officials follow the mandate of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, otherwise known as the Insurrectionist Disqualification Clause.
Uh-huh.
That language of the Constitution makes clear that anyone who takes an oath of office and then engages in insurrection is forever barred from holding public office again. It was designed by the framers of the 14th Amendment to address the ex-Confederates who were in positions of government power or sought to gain positions of government power right after the Civil War. And the point was that these ex-Confederates who had previously taken an oath of office to defend the Constitution had then turned around and engaged in the country's first insurrection, the Civil War. We now have the second insurrection in our nation's history on January 6, 2021. And that language of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment applies to people as well in this era who took an oath of office and engaged in that insurrection and are now forever barred from holding public office again. That includes Madison Cawthorn in North Carolina, includes Marjorie Taylor Greene in Georgia, and it includes Paul Gosar, Andy Biggs, and Mark Fincham in Arizona. And it obviously includes Donald Trump, the insider in chief.
Yes, it does. And so last night I get a message, a direct message from John Bonifaz in my Twitter, and it says, we just won a federal court ruling in Atlanta allowing Georgia voters to challenge Marjorie Taylor Greene as he didn't write that, I said that, as disqualified under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, the Insurrectionist Disqualification Clause. So there's still, there's a rush hearing to determine hopefully the same fate for Madison Cawthorn. That'll happen on May 3rd, but they're moving in the right direction. I heard Marge Q on there's a clip making the rounds. She's on Tucker Carlson's crying. They don't want to let them vote for me.
Ugh. But didn't she challenge it, or was that something else she challenged?
Well, she challenged it, but she lost last night. That's what this is about. She challenged it.
I just had a conversation. No, this was after that.
Okay.
Is she appealing? Is she doing something?
Well, this was it. This was her challenge to it. And so now.
No, but there was something else. I don't know. I said stall. So I remember saying that to somebody. Wait, let me see if I can find it, because it wasn't that long ago.
And I'm pulling up the article. By the way, it's at freespeechforpeople.org, and you can find federal judge allows Georgia voters to challenge Rep. Marjorie Taylor Greene's candidacy for re-election under 14th Amendment's Insurrectionist Disqualification Clause. Okay, federal court denies Representative Greene's motion for a preliminary injunction to block the challenge from proceeding, hearing before a state administrative law judge set for Friday, April 22nd.
Thank you. That was it.
That's a Friday.
I knew there was something.
On Friday. So this is happening fast.
They're moving fast.
As a result of Judge Totenberg's ruling, the Georgia voters will have their challenge against Greene heard. So the challenge itself is another court case, and that's happening on Friday before a state administrative law judge in Atlanta, with a hearing currently scheduled for Friday, April 22nd at 9:30 a.m. in Atlanta. The Georgia voters, through their counsel, have issued a subpoena for Representative Greene to appear at that hearing and testify under oath. Oh, yeah.
I can't wait. I want to see the transcript of that.
Yeah, and that's happening Friday morning. No time wasted here.
Meanwhile, speaking of judges.
Yes.
The federal judge who pushed the no mask mandate, you know, ruling on us.
Yeah. Oh, God.
This is from Jennifer Bendery. Uh-huh. Catherine Mizell earned an embarrassing, not qualified rating by the ABA, American Bar Association, when she was a judicial nominee based on her lack of experience. When Trump nominated her, she had only been practicing law for 8 years plus, had never tried a case. She's never in a courtroom.
And the American Bar Association deemed her unqualified.
That's what I just said.
I know, but I'm stressing it again. Again, okay. Unqualified. And now Trump names her to a lifetime judicial federal position. But keep in mind.
That's coming up.
Keep going. Sorry. Yeah,
so Ellie Mistal says, youngest federal judge, we are so perma-fucked. And then Patriot Takes said, Madison Cawthorn wants the judge who struck down the airline mask mandate appointed to the Supreme Court. And by the way, when she did get this case about the mask mandate, she wouldn't even have a hearing with lawyers. She only read what they wrote on paper and decided all by herself that she was going to change the world and get people on airplanes sick. Then third, Garrett Graff, journalist and historian, he said, oh, wait, I just realized this judge is the unqualified 33-year-old, never tried a case wife of Chad Mizell, the unqualified Stephen Miller ally appointed by Trump to be acting general counsel of DHS.
Homeland Security.
Now the ruling makes more sense. This is the corruption Trump intended.
Hello. That's it. And the fact is, she's a single judge. This is not a three-judge panel, which is usually.
Right.
She's not an appeals court judge. She's just some low-level federal judge in Florida, of course. And she took it on herself to make this decision. That's not her place. But technically, she's an activist judge much? Right. Activist judge much. Exactly. Exactly. Right. And I believe this will likely be reversed, but by then the damage is already done. People who were on planes yesterday, the pilots went on the PA and said, well, they just undid the mask mandate, so I guess you could take them off. Right. Can you imagine what that does to an immune challenged person who might have been on that plane?
People have been tweeting it, that exact thing, who are immune challenged, who were on airplanes, and said, do you know what this is doing to me and my child, my four-year-old who's immunocompromised? I mean, people are already saying this. It's the most selfish act that somebody can do is to take their mask off on an airplane. Horrible. Anyway, moving along here about judges. So Elie Mystal went on to say, honestly, don't think people understand how much Trump and McConnell permanently fucked the federal judiciary, which, by the way, is one of the reasons I'm moving to Canada. And then Mark Joseph Stern.
Of Slate.
Who,
a legal guy from Slate.
Yeah, on Slate, exactly. He said, anyway, there's a pretty good chance that Mizell, Judge Mizell, will still be ruling us in 2072 when she's in her 80s.
Oh,
that's
my God.
The future we're condemning ourselves to if we unquestioningly accept rule by Trump judges. That's what Democrats are embracing when they oppose court reform. And then Umair, I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce his name. He has a blue check, but it doesn't say really what he does. He says, also love having the far-right Trumpist judges in Florida setting public health policy for the entire country.
Oh, yeah, right. Not
unbelievable.
Unbelievable is right. Unbelievable. It's just
speaking of Cawthorn.
Yeah. Yes.
Because we were speaking of Cawthorn because of the amendment, the judge you the lawyer you were quoting,
right? John Boniface. He,
right. Yikes! Said Sam Brody, who is covering Congress for the Daily Beast, fired Cawthorn staffer. So a Republican.
Yes.
A Cawthorn staff who was fired, said she didn't get any time off when her husband had a heart attack and recalled there being, quote, more liquor bottles than water bottles in his Hendersonville office, saying in a leaked recording that, quote, we all want the ultimate goal of him never serving again. Lisa Wiggins, a former caseworker and campaign aide to Cawthorn, has filed an employment-related campaign against the embattled congressman. She also said that Cawthorn had closed all of his district offices except for the Hendersonville office and was using call forwarding to consolidate constituent service calls. Quote, he didn't care. He doesn't care about his constituents. He does not care. As far as the candidate himself, I mean, he's just a bad person. He's a habitual liar, and he's going to say and do anything he can to your face, but behind your back, he's completely opposite, she said. There's some good stories I have, a lot of good stories.
Wow.
So this is not
over. Well, the party's done with him, too, because he made that quip about the sex parties, which I've been told are real.
Yeah.
So, you know, so they're pissed at him because he's telling tales, you know, not that he made it up, because he's giving away their secret. Who would want to have sex with any of those people? I'm sorry.
I don't know. Anyway, he
has lost their support, both because of his crazy Trumpy ways and the lies and the loose lips, I guess.
Well, speaking of support and Trump.
Yeah.
Cameron Joseph, who writes for Vice News, said Trump endorsed J.D. Vance. Once said Trump was either a cynical asshole like Nixon or America's Hitler.
Yeah.
Even harsher criticism than what Vance said publicly about Trump back in 16. So LOL GOP said, wait till they find out Vance used to oppose testicle tanning. LOL
GOP. Come on.
He says, I don't think Vance selling out his soul for the American Hitler the way he sold out his family and neighbors to sell a book hurts him with Trump or Trump fans, in that it confirms he's down with their agenda, stealing power and using it to punish minorities they don't like. What may hurt Vance is that he's the ultimate try-hard kind of leech that makes you taste vomit when he speaks. LOL GOP, don't like Vance too much.
Well, you know, that's understandable. That is understandable. Hey, did you hear, you know, I mentioned Friday is Earth Day, right? Friday is Earth Day.
Yeah.
And Thursday, well, is the 21st. Tomorrow is 420. You know,
that's right.
Yes, it's Hitler's birthday. We got that. It's also, well, it's other birthdays too. But it's known 420 has come to be known as, you know, Marijuana Day, right? So you would think that New Jersey would have moved things around to make tomorrow the day that legal weed goes on sale to adults age 21 and up. But for some reason, they're waiting till Thursday, losing that great marketing push. Like, to 420, it makes sense, right? So
yes.
Cory Booker and New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy addressed the issue.
Hello, my fellow New Jerseyans. Today is a beautiful day in our beautiful state because mask mandates on New Jersey Transit are no longer allowed. So to my working class brethren of all races, creeds, colors, orientations, origin stories, breathe in the fresh air of the Garden State, they call it, because of our beautiful, lush valleys of green that fill up this state. Whether you are red or blue, we can all agree that the beautiful, verdant colors that make up our Garden State are worth inhaling. And by the way, this, I believe it's Friday. Thursday. We will be legalizing recreational marijuana. So we will truly be the Garden State. Now, please do it responsibly. Do it carefully,
Cory
with
Booker,
love
everybody.
And courtesy for your neighbors. But I look forward to swapping out a little bit of the wheatgrass in my morning smoothie with a little bit of Jersey's finest marijuana with an H. So everybody be safe. And a quick message from our governor in the Garden State, Phil Murphy.
Okay.
Thank you to our great senator, pride of New Jersey, Cory Booker. That's right, everybody. On April 21st, recreational marijuana will be legal in the state. We thought about doing it on 420, but that would make too much sense. So we're doing it the day after. We're getting stronger and we're going to get higher, New Jersey, because as I like to say, 420 is Hitler's birthday. So let's not get canceled on the first day of legal recreational marijuana. So everybody get high and you can look like me when I smile.
Phil, Governor Phil Murphy and Cory Booker. That's JL Coven, everybody.
Okay, real quick. Do you have the Jesse Waters tape?
Oh, I do. Yes, I do. Okay, yes.
Okay, here's Jesse Waters of Fox Propaganda Network, boasting about how he let the air out of his intern's tires to get her into his car for a date.
This is stunning. So this is a host on Fox News bragging about sexual assault. Here we go.
I was trying to get Emma to date me. First thing I did, I let the air out of her tires.
What?
She couldn't go anywhere. She needed a lift. I said, hey, you need a lift? She copped right in the car.
Does she know this story?
No, she doesn't know this story.
Did she watch your show?
Did she watch the show?
You're basically the Zodiac Killer.
It has a happy ending.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, did you really do that?
Is that the first time you did it, or did you use that before?
It works like a charm.
Oh, okay. Kathy Lee Gifford.
And he's bragging about it. And they're all laughing about it?
They're laughing about it. Isn't that like illegal? I mean,
yes.
Shouldn't somebody, he just admitted that.
Sexual assault, basically. I don't know if he actually touched her, but that's kidnapping, isn't it?
He forced her.
Disabled her car so she'd have to get in his car.
Yeah, that sounds like kidnapping. That's good. That works.
Oh, my God. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Yeah, this is the Fox Wunderkind.
Yeah, he's the one who wasn't he like Bill O'Reilly's producer or something?
And yeah, he'd ambush people.
Ambush people.
Camera.
He'd harass people. Because that's what they know how to do. This is the direction this country is headed. This is what people want.
Applauded for it.
Yeah, I give up. I give up.
My husband didn't have to coerce me into a car.
No, nor did mine. Yeah, you know, when you don't have to trick the person into being with you, That's, yeah. you know, that's the optimal way to go.
A mutual agreement and a mutual attraction.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Yeah.
Huh.
Hmm. You know what I didn't do is I never ran my commercial, and we run out of time. I'll do it in overtime. I'll play it for the people who hang out for overtime. So Progressive Voices, you're going to miss it, but I'll play it tomorrow. What it is about is Mother's Day is coming up, and I paint pet portraits, and they make a wonderful Mother's Day gift. So if you're interested, you want more information, go to paintyourpets.net or email me, Nicole@NicoleSandler.com. And then everyone who sticks around for overtime will get the ad. All right. See how I snuck that in? Laffy.
That was good.
Yep. We'll see you. Yeah. You know, okay. We'll see you next, the week after next. I got to tell you, somebody, Ashley Hope tweeted, and I just retweeted, but you haven't probably even seen it yet. She wrote, Nicole Sandler, I am convinced that there is an eighth day to the weeks of the year. A lot of good stuff happens every, quote, other Tuesday.
Oh.
Isn't that nice? So I retweeted it and I tagged you. Thank you, Ashley. That's very sweet.
Thank you. Yeah. So sweet. That made my day.
I said, aw, gotta laugh, and I both thank you.
Yes.
Yes. All right. All right, Laffy. Well, I guess we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yeah, you will.
Okay. So
I won't even have to coerce you into my car.
No, not at all. I'd come willingly.
That's right.
And yeah, I was gonna make a really bad pun there,
don't
but
even,
I won't. Yeah, I won't. So
I love words.
Yes, I know, because it just the words. Sometimes they furnish their own punchlines.
Exactly.
And but I can do this. Hold on, I could do it faster if you know I was in more
hurry,
organized.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Oh, that's so late.
There you go. So I know. Late. I know. What can I tell you? All right.
Timing is everything.
I know. Timing is everything. Yes, timing is everything. Okay. Laffy, we'll see you on the Twitters, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. And yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Be that way.
Bye, everybody.
Okay, bye.
Thanks.
Bye. And for everyone sticking around for overtime, here's the commercial that I didn't play that I'm playing now. Okay. Take it away. Commercial. Once again, you're in search of the perfect gift. How about a custom portrait of her fur babies? You know, the ones who don't grow up and leave home. You could commission a portrait and present her with the finished painting, or make the collaboration part of the special gift. I'm Nicole Sandler, and for the past couple of years, I've been painting custom pet portraits. What sets me apart from the others is my collaborative process. I work with you or her, deciding on the perfect photo to use for reference, the size, background, and other details. Then I get started. I'll send photos of the painting in progress at different steps along the way and ask you to be brutally honest and tell me any little thing that's wrong or just slightly off. I fix any of those issues and go a bit further and send another photo. The portrait is done when you or she says, "That's it. It's perfect." Whether you present her with a finished portrait or a beautiful gift certificate that also gives her the gift of collaborating on her keepsake pet portrait, this is the personal and unique gift you're looking for. See samples, get more information, and contact me all through paintyourpets.net. That's paintyourpets.net.
Sandler. What's new from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Once again, we begin in Ukraine, where Putin's thugs are targeting civilians and are causing mass casualties as they escalate an unprovoked war. Ukrainian officials on Monday said that Russia has started its expected major offensive in eastern Ukraine with a flurry of missile attacks on cities across the country. Russia has been amassing troops and material for an anticipated offensive in the Donbas region, parts of which are controlled by pro-Russia separatists. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said it can now be stated that the Russian troops have begun the battle for Donbas, for which they have been preparing for a long time. He said a very large part of the entire Russian army is now focused on this offensive. Ukrainian security officials said their forces were holding on in the targeted areas. And Zelensky again, in a video address, responded by saying, "We will defend ourselves. We will fight. We will not give away anything Ukrainian." Here at home, the CDC's mask mandate for travelers is no longer in effect on airplanes and other public transportation. This following a federal judge's ruling on Monday. U.S. District Judge Catherine Kimball Mazel, a Trump appointee from Florida, of course, said that the mandate exceeds the statutory authority of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. A Biden administration official on Monday night said that the agencies are reviewing the decision and assessing potential next steps, and added that the CDC still recommends that people continue to wear masks in indoor public transportation settings. I know I would. After the mandate was struck down, several U.S. airlines announced that masks are now optional on their aircraft. This decision comes as coronavirus cases are again climbing in the Northeast as the BA2 Omicron subvariant, which is even more contagious than its predecessor, becomes the predominant strain in the U.S. Health officials say it's not clear whether the rise is the start of a larger surge. And at the same time, the city of Philadelphia started enforcing its new indoor mask mandate on Monday, making it the first major city in the country to reinstate a local face covering requirement this spring due to rising coronavirus infections. Now we move down to Florida, where the state's governor on Monday defended Florida's Department of Education's rejection of 41% of 132 public school K-12 math textbooks, saying that they wasted space on, quote, social and emotional learning that diluted the essential subject matter. Democrats accused DeSantis of making muddy and dishonest allegations about school material to score points with conservative voters.
In all, the state tossed out 54 books that they say can't be used in the state of Florida. But what they aren't saying is specifically why they're being tossed out.
Math is about getting the right answer.
But getting an answer to why the books were rejected isn't so easy.
Most of the books that did not meet Florida standards for whatever reason.
A press release calls the books inappropriate, saying it rejected books containing critical race theory, Common Core, and material that used social and emotional learning.
The governor's office has yet to provide us with specifics.
Claiming they can't because the authors own the rights to the material. His press secretary, though, tweeting this problem, which mentions non-binary students, but that example is not found in any Florida school books.
The examples being shared by the administration are at this point not relevant to Florida, which is a habit that Governor DeSantis continuously does.
Experts suspect the majority were rejected for using Common Core, a long-form way of teaching math, which the governor banned in 2021.
The few examples that they gave were not in any of the books they banned. Just unbelievable. But here's one from the Win One for the Good Guys file. Last week, constitutional attorney John Bonifaz of Free Speech for People came on my show to tell us about their work challenging the re-election right of some members of Congress on the basis of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment.
To ensure that election officials follow the mandate of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, otherwise known as the Insurrectionist Disqualification Clause. That language of the Constitution makes clear that anyone who takes an oath of office and then engages in insurrection is forever barred from holding public office. Again, it was designed by the framers of the 14th Amendment to address the ex-Confederates who were in positions of government power or sought to gain positions of government power right after the Civil War. And the point was that these ex-Confederates who had previously taken an oath of office to defend the Constitution had then turned around and engaged in the country's first insurrection, the Civil War. We now have the second insurrection in our nation's history on January 6, 2021. And that language of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment applies to people as well in this era who took an oath of office and engaged in that insurrection and are now forever barred from holding public office again. That includes Madison Cawthorn in North Carolina, includes Marjorie Taylor Greene in Georgia, and it includes Paul Gosar, Andy Biggs, and Mark Fincham in Arizona. And it obviously includes Donald Trump, the insider in chief.
Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia lost her bid to block a constitutional challenge to her reelection. U.S. District Judge Amy Totenberg of the Northern District of Georgia denied Green's request for a preliminary injunction and temporary restraining order, ruling that Green had failed to meet the burden of persuasion. In her 73-page order, Judge Totenberg wrote, "This case involves a whirlpool of colliding constitutional interests of public import. The novelty of the factual and historical posture of this case, especially when assessed in the context of a preliminary injunction motion reviewed on a fast track, has made resolution of the complex legal issues at stake here particularly demanding." Free Speech for People, the organization representing a group of Georgia voters in the lawsuit, on Monday said the publicly available evidence establishes that Green helped facilitate the insurrection before, during, and after January 6, 2021. Their challenges to the reelection campaigns of others, including Madison Cawthorn of North Carolina and Paul Gosar and others in Arizona, are still pending. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.